Jesus stills a storm and ties his action to faith. The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 8th chapter. One day Jesus got into a boat with his disciples and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they put out, and while they were sailing, he fell asleep. A windstorm swept down on the lake and the boat was filling with water and they were in danger. They went to him and woke him up, shouting, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he woke up and rebuked the wind and the raging waves. They ceased and there was calm. He said to them, "Where is your faith?" They were afraid and amazed and said to one another, "Who then is this that he commands even the winds and the water and they obey him?" The Gospel of the Lord. Back in seminary, they taught us to preach using three steps: diagnosis, prognosis, cure. First, the diagnosis. You state in your sermon the current condition. You give a diagnosis. During Lent, we've been saying the diagnosis is sin. We have missed the mark in our relationship with God. Diagnosis, we experience evil because we bear sin. Second step of preaching is the prognosis. Once you've diagnosed the situation, you explain the prognosis. This is what's going to happen. This will happen based on our analysis of the diagnosis. Upon the diagnosis, what is our prognosis? The forecast. If the diagnosis is sin and evil, it leads to separation from God, which ultimately leads to death. So the prognosis is death. Death is the prognosis. And the third step of preaching is to proclaim the remedy, the solution, the cure, the antidote, the treatment. If the diagnosis is death due to evil, then the cure has to come from somewhere outside of ourselves. The cure to death, to evil, to sin is the cross, the saving cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross turns our death sentence into an opportunity for new life. So our rescue is the cross. That's the gospel. That's the good news. That's the atoning work of Jesus Christ for us and for our salvation. So during Lent, I've got to hand it to you. Y'all have been so stalwart. You've been such good troopers during Lent because we've been discussing plenty of diagnosis and prognosis during Lent. Heck, it's a sermon series on evil. How much worse could it get? So today, the remedy, the cure, the solution to evil. This little story may help. I rented the house from the landlord, but I never got to see him personally. But I could tell from the beautiful way the property was kept that he knew what he was doing as a landlord. In addition, every now and then he would leave me a note telling me how I might use the property in the most beneficial way for all concerned. And then one day, out of the blue, he just dropped by for a visit. Strangest thing. Instead of being a landlord who wanted to bleed me for all the rent he could get, he presented to me all the rent checks that I'd ever written. He told me, "No need to pay. You are my guest." He seemed to know all about me. He said, "I've done everything necessary to make your stay here a pleasant one." And then he left. Just walked away. No, actually, even though he went away, I was so impressed by who he was and by what he did that he had become a part of me. The landlord who owned the house, who then visited me, had somehow become part of me. You're probably on to where this little illustration is leading. God is the landlord. The landlord is God. This is a parable. We know God by what God does. God has given us a remarkable world in which to live. God has left us notes in the moral order of things, in our conscience, in the Ten Commandments, in the Bible, all how God wants us to live. The diagnosis is we do not live that way. So we hope that by paying the rent, we can keep our lease. And then the landlord comes and says, "I've paid the lease for you, even though it is my house. I have taken care of all your indebtedness, he says. Then I discover that the landlord rubs off on me. Because I admire and respect the landlord, I become more the way the landlord is, more the way the landlord wants. Not because the landlord ever threatens to foreclose, but because the landlord makes my life, by any other means, childish by comparison. Makes me want to live with the landlord. It makes me want to be like the landlord. It is heaven to me. And to be without the landlord would be hell for me. So I believe that the landlord offers me the solution, the cure, the remedy to all my worries and problems. I believe in the landlord. We know God by what God does. That is today's saving word. That is the solution to evil. Diagnosis, evil. Prognosis, death. And now the cure, the remedy. We will see it all play out very soon. A parade on a donkey, a meal in an upper room, a betrayal in a garden with a kiss, an arrest, and then this mockery of a trial leading to God on a cross and God dead in a tomb. And then you just wait. The solution, the cure, the remedy, it is coming. Amen.